Well, good morning. It's Thursday. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Before we get things underway, a reminder that you are always more than welcome to become part of the proceedings. Telephonically at 414-1234 if it's local. Long distance from you to us, it's 800-926-8809 with us picking up the tab. And perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address. Or you can tweet us. That's fine, too, at WFSU Perspective. Oh, coming up next week. Gee, we don't even talk about Black Friday anymore. Now it's what, Fuchsia Thursday? I don't know. With some retailers now actually opening on Thanksgiving evening.
Right.
Which has a lot of folks upset, and we won't get into the politics and the philosophy of that. But then you have Cyber Monday, and you have all these other things. The insanity of pre-holiday shopping, I guess, officially kicks off next week. So to maybe lower the level of the insanity somewhat, may we offer an alternative, as we have done for the past several years, because we have a connection that we wanted to turn you on to. It's called the Alternative Christmas Market, and coming up the first and the second weekends in December. So you have a few options when it comes to your holiday shopping, where you're not only shopping for that special someone, but you're also shopping, and of course for yourself because you feel good about it, but it also provides a lot of help for great organizations here in our community. So let's meet some of the folks who can tell us more about this. We say hi once again to Danny Deeth, who's pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church. And Pastor Danny, good to see you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us again.
We also have, of course, Debbie Gibson of John Wesley United Methodist Church, and also affiliated with the 10,000 Villages and so many other things here in town. So
it's good to be with you again, Tom. Thank you.
It's always wonderful to see you folks. For the uninitiated, folks who may be tuning into this for the first time, going, alternative Christmas, well, okay, what does that mean, really, Debbie?
Well, it gives you an alternative. Some of us are tired of the whole cycle that we get into, buying more stuff, what do we do with it? Instead, we ask people to consider honoring those that have enough by giving to those or sharing with those that are in need. And so when you come to an alternative market, you're really thinking about the way you gift differently. We have about 30 agencies that are set up in our fellowship hall. Danny, I don't know how many.
It's right at 30.
Right at 30. So 30 agencies, most of them local, some national, some international. But each of them has a special mission that they are trying to accomplish. Some of them are ministries. A lot of them are agencies. The Alzheimer's Project is a good example. So we've all been touched by Alzheimer's. We all know somebody that's been touched by Alzheimer's. And if this is something that has touched your family, you might consider gifting someone with the donation of a music therapy lesson for an Alzheimer's patient. So you would make the donation to the Alzheimer's Project. The recipient of your gift would get a beautiful calligraphy card that tells them that this is the way they're honoring you this year for Christmas.
So in other words, it's on your behalf,
right?
You know, I am presenting to the Alzheimer's Project or the Humane Society of Leon County or any of these other agencies a gift in your name.
Right.
And
our card reads, as a special gift to you, the gift of a music therapy lesson has been given through Alzheimer's Project by Debbie. It lets them know, and we encourage the agencies to bring a little information sheet just in case you're gifting someone that isn't in the community and they don't know what these agencies do, so that they learn more about it. We consider it as much an educational opportunity as we do a gifting opportunity.
Because it's not just going in and picking something at random from an impersonal table, or you actually can meet the people who are associated with these various organizations and causes.
Right. And it's amazing how many organizations we have in Tallahassee that are working to make our community a better place. I'm a little proud, and I'll brag now. We have been doing this. This will be our 28th year. And if we have a tremendous community support this year, we will pass the $1 million mark in the amount of money that we have raised over these 28 years for local agencies.
Didn't it just start with one agency, I think?
It started with two.
Okay.
John Davis was on the board of Heifer Project. I was on the board of Habitat. And I was given two tables, one for local Habitat and one for international. John had 10, you know, one for cows, one for goats, one for chickens. It's really hard to go up against the bunnies. You know, you just can't.
Yeah, it's hard to go
hammers and nails or
and go up against John, too. Oh, talk about a persuader. I mean, he's something.
Yeah. So that first market, we raised about $1,800 for the two agencies, and we thought we had, you know, just – really done something special. The next year, we more than doubled that. And it just continued. And so we've gotten to the point where we raised between 40 and 45,000. This year, if we raise 48, we will pass that $1 million.
That magic $1 million mark.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Yeah, we are going to do it. Now, if you count our offshoot, the work that they've been doing out at Christ, John helped Christ began their market 8 years after ours began, thinking that having one market on the south side of town and one market on the north side of town would give people an opportunity to shop. Well, we've passed the $1 million mark long ago.
Yeah, this is our 20th year, and if we have a strong showing from the community, we hope to hit $1 billion this year in our gift market. So that's a joke. We have to have a strong showing, but we're optimistic, and we know that people are going to turn out.
We do know that the people in Tallahassee are generous beyond measure, that they come in. For some of them, especially if it's their first time, they're expecting a bazaar. They think they're coming in to look for jams and jellies and wreaths. And we do actually have a market, and so does Christ, where you can buy tangible gifts that are benefiting the agencies that are there.
And 10,000 Villages, too.
Yeah, and 10,000 Villages. Yes, and 10,000 Villages. But, you know, you might pick up a T-shirt from Habitat, or the Returned Peace Corps volunteers always come with their calendar, which highlights their programs around the world. So there, if you have to have something to carry out in your hand, we've got that too. But people that come in and actually start looking at the agencies, they kind of scratch their heads, and they're not really sure, what am I supposed to do here? But once they get the idea, we often see them the second day. They'll leave, they'll go home, and they'll think about somebody else that it would be wonderful to honor in this way. You know, we all have that little thing that we do where there's some people that we really admire and we want to honor, but we think, oh, if I give them a gift, they'll feel like they have to give me a gift back. Hmm. Well, you don't have to worry about that with alternative giving.
Yeah, and this is one that will never be returned, too.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. So let's start off here with the first weekend. Didn't want to misspeak this here when it comes to what John Wesley United Methodist Church is doing for the Alternative Christmas Market, which is coming up when, Deb?
It will be December 6th, that's Saturday, and we are open at 9 o'clock, and we go until 4 that afternoon. And then Sunday, after church, we open the market again at 1. We give people a chance to go out and grab something to eat. And so from 1 until 4, they can come back and shop again.
Okay. And Pastor Danny, yours is the following weekend, then.
That's right. That's right. The 12th and the 13th, that Friday night, it's 6 to 8 p.m. And then the next morning, 8 to 1, and we'll have a pancake breakfast. We'll feed you. Smells good. So y'all come on out. We also have the Bloodmobile will be there on Saturday also for us. So if you're a donor, we'd love to have you come out.
Oh, and talk about a tangible gift then, because
that's
this is one of those times of the year when you talk to the folks at the which is now One Blood.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
That this is a really critical time for them, because around the holidays, donations drop precipitously. Mm-hmm. And if you have a situation like, oh, my gosh, look what just happened in Buffalo with that, and people need blood, and it may not be available. And so that's a great
message. It's important.
It is important. And the good news is I was at the blood center just this week, and it was so busy I had to wait to give blood.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it is. I'm glad people are recognizing that this is an important thing to do to support the community.
Good problem to have. You're just joining us on Perspectives. Thank you so much. And, of course, our thoughts, our prayers, our feelings going out to the folks associated with the tragedy at Florida State University around 12:30 this morning with the shooting incident and the three victims, one student just very slightly injured, two were hospitalized, and the suspect in the case was killed by combined elements of Florida State University and Tallahassee Police Departments. An update will be coming up about 3 o'clock this afternoon, and we'll bring that information to you just as quickly as we can. Pastor Danny, I'm thinking that things like that, though, kind of tie into this whole idea of just how precious life and how precious time is. And there's a connection to the alternative Christmas market there, too.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. These agencies are not just well-wishing people who are doing nice things. A lot of these agencies have the power to change lives. A lot of these agencies are in the worst – in the most terrible places that people will go, sometimes in the darkest place of tragedy, and when people find themselves in need, which we're all susceptible to, depending on time and circumstance, to be in that place. And these agencies really do have the ability and the passion and the resources and the know-how to intervene when people find themselves in difficult and dark places. And when we support these agencies again, they are the ones who were there with people who can help bring them out on the other side or start them on the road to some kind of recovery or through some of those difficult situations. So, I think it's a helpful reminder to us that, you know, every day there's so much suffering that goes on, so much that we don't see and so much that we do see. And this has hit us close to home, and I share my prayers, thoughts, and love for everybody involved. But this is one way that we can step in and try to help those organizations that do intervene.
Yeah, coming off of a particularly tight time for all nonprofits, not just in this community, but across the country because of the recession. And we're still not back to the giving levels that we were used to back when, you know, things were a little bit more flush with cash. The alternative Christmas market is what we're talking about on Perspectives this morning. And we'd love to hear from you. 414-1234, 800-926-8809. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Perspectives on WFSU-FM, the Alternative Christmas Markets. We have Debbie Gibson from John Wesley United Methodist Church, which will be holding its Alternative Christmas Market on December 6th and 7th, and Danny Deeth, pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church out in the Northeast Quadrant, the following weekend, December 12th and the 13th. So I guess that idea, Debbie, then, since you and John were kind of the progenitors of this here on the local, how did the idea come? Was it just that John, being affiliated with Heifer International, had said, oh, this is a great idea, let's do this? Or?
That's exactly how it happened. Heifer Project has been at the forefront of giving people alternatives to the way that they celebrate different events. And their organization had put out the idea of an alternative market. As you know, they have lots and lots of different animals that they – what Heifer does is to go into a poverty-stricken area, look to see what resources are available to the people there and what animal will fit naturally into that environment. And then they gift them with a breeding pair of animals. The promise that they must make is that they will share the first offspring with another family. And then that continues to bless the village. So the idea that you could instead – well, I'll tell you a story. My grandmother was a very difficult person to shop with. She was pretty well off. She had everything she needed and everything she wanted, because if she wanted it, she got it. And so shopping for her was really difficult because she didn't need it or want it, and she often would give it back. So the first year we had the market, I got her a gift from Heifer Project. And I was not with her that morning. I had sent it down to Bartow. But my cousin was there. And she said, grandmother sat around the table and very proudly said, well, you'll never guess what I got for Christmas. And, of course, there was no way anybody would ever guess I'd given her a water buffalo. But she got more enjoyment out of that. So from that moment on, my job every market was to find the weirdest thing I could find. I think when I gave her the artificial leg from Adoptive Village Missions, I think that may have topped even the water buffalo. But you know, as I said, part of the idea is that so many of us are really blessed. We have all the material things we need. And rather than perpetuate that commercialization and that consumption, you know, a lot of us are becoming maybe more conscious of walking softly on the earth. And this is a way that you acknowledge that person. I think one of the things that maybe Danny and I could talk about was the variety of agencies that are there, because you can find something that actually speaks to anybody on your list. We have such a variety of organizations.
Right,
and
it's
agencies.
Children all the way up through older adults, animals. It's mental, it's physical, it's spiritual, it's, you know, really encompasses whatever you can, again, wherever you feel your passion is, you can find a representation at the gift market.
Right.
I know there's one thing that I found that it works really, really well for my daughter, who is just a total animal lover.
Oh, yes.
You know, her children have four legs and tails. And in keeping with that, every year I try to get something that for her that ties into that. And last year it was a kitty quilt. That would go out to the shelter, the Tallahassee Leon County Animal Service Center. And there are these lovely ladies who make these quilts by the dozen, and they're gorgeous. The cats don't appreciate them. They just, you know, kind of rip them to shreds. So there's always a great market for them.
Right, right.
But I got a kitty quilt her name, and she got the biggest kick out of that. It was just, oh, now this is exactly what I wanted, which was to bring comfort into the life of an animal. And she just thought it was super, because she doesn't need any more shoes. I'll tell you that right now.
Right. Well, she got that covered.
Yeah, yeah.
And we find that, you know, we have the St. Francis Wildlife Association. We also have Treats, which actually subsidizes spay and neuter operations for animals. But I'm sure Danny has some do y'all have the animal shelter?
Yeah, we do. We
market.
Do.
And
we have several. And one of the neat things, Tom, you're talking about, you know, your daughter's passion for that. And one of the neat things, too, especially for children, but it can be for anybody you give your gift to, not only in the vein of education, not only is it a great thing to do because they care about that particular need, but, you know, to give a child a gift in their name somewhere and then back that up and go to that agency and then volunteer. And so it's kind of an entryway into service by making a connection. You know, you can meet these fantastic people who are there representing the agencies who are both volunteered and paid. And either way, they've committed themselves to this, to their mission. But again, for kids, it's a great way to bring them into service by, you know, kind of expanding on their passions.
Yeah.
There was one group in particular I was thinking of, and he was over at John Wesley, as I remember, Debbie. Mm-hmm. That was a Kairos that provides a ministry to folks who are in prison.
We actually have three prison ministries. Kairos actually will not be with us this year because John Fons, who's been with us for 27 years, has retired. But I work in the prisons on Friday morning down at Wakulla, and the group that sponsors the program I work with is called Horizons Communities in Prisons. And so they have replaced Kairos and are going to be part of the market. We also have the Kindred Spirits group, which has a ministry to death row inmates, and they will be there. So, as I said, there is something for everybody.
Yeah, and you learn so much about what resources are available in the community that otherwise you would not have this one-stop shop. You'd have to find these organizations individually, but they're all right there. And that in itself is a great learning experience.
Well, and it's interesting that when you talk to the participants from the organizations, one of the things they tell us is, you know, when you've got 30 organizations and you're only raising $45,000, nobody's going to get rich. This is not going to fund their organization for the next year. But in terms of PR, you've got a group of people who have a good spirit and they've come to find out about the community. And so people will sign up to get their newsletters. Often they will sign up to volunteer. Mm-hmm. I've even had one group tell me that they got board members that joined their organization from that conversation through the alternative market. So it's a way – there are so many groups in town that I've learned about that, like you said, I would never have known about. Different ministries from different churches. Killarney United Methodist, for example, does a ministry in Nicaragua. They have a program called 12 Churches. And they have been providing money for children to go to school, for pastors to get education, because for a lot of these guys they have maybe a vocation, but they haven't had the theological training. They actually support the churches improving their facilities. And it has become so successful, they've now got a microloan program similar to something that you do through Kiva. But you can donate money to the 12 churches, and they will use that money to help someone in Nicaragua begin a business. I didn't realize what a big deal it was until I was talking to Ness Suber, who is the attorney that's been working with Killarn to help them set up the legal aspect of this. But she said in Nicaragua, in order to borrow money, you pay 24% interest. Hmm. So, you know, getting these microloans from programs like 12 Churches, just in terms of the difference in financing, is tremendous. And really transforms lives, as Danny was saying.
With all the uncertainty and the turmoil and the terrible things going on in so many lands that you hear about in the news all the time, do these kinds of things really make a difference, do you think?
Oh, I know they do. I know they do. The responses that we get, we get correspondence from the agencies that are there, not just saying thank you for having us, but, you know, as Debbie said, it's not, you know, this isn't going to make anybody's budget for the year, that there's some help that comes from it, and it's certainly helpful to them. But they will tell us some of the stories of people that are helped or ways that the money raised was used, and it has direct impact.
I know that you know Agnes Fury.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, she was in just a couple days ago. She and Herb Donaldson had put together that one act play right. That was down at Mickey Faust the other night. So,
Agnes's transformation began at the Alternative Christmas Market. Agnes has worked for years with agencies that have worked with the least of these. And the year that she was at the market for the first time, she was actually manning the Big Ben Cares booth, which actually is a ministry to AIDS patients here in town. Her daughter and grandson had been murdered earlier that year. She sat across from Audrey Rivers, who was the founder of the Kindred Spirits program, which is the ministry to death row inmates. And because there are backboards, you can sort of look up and see what people are doing. And she said she sat there furious. She could not believe that there was somebody that was doing something in prison because this man had just robbed her of this precious gift. She got up and she went to get something to eat back in the kitchen. And as she did, she passed the Kairos booth where John Fons was standing. And he was very good about reaching out and grabbing people walking by. We need you in the prisons. And she said it just blew her away. It was like, no. You know, she felt like she was surrounded. Before that weekend was done, she was talking to Audrey. And Audrey was trying to help her understand that all of us are God's children, that the people in prison, even those that have done the most heinous things, are children of God and deserve love and care. And she said it didn't work right away, but she went home, and over the period of the next couple of months, it helped her look at what had happened differently. And the work that she is doing now for restorative justice and working with people in prison is one of the most remarkable ministries I've ever seen. And I love that it happened because she was exposed to a couple of people that had a different life experience but could relate to the loss she had had and tried to help her heal and find a way through. And she herself is having such a dramatic impact. They're doing a documentary about her from France, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that was being filmed down there. Yeah. And in case you're not familiar with the story of Agnes Ferrier, which Debbie just gave us the intro to, Agnes went on then to establish correspondence and even more personal contact with the murderer.
Yeah.
And they have become – it is the most remarkable relationship.
Yeah.
You know, no one is acknowledging, you know, oh, it was not my fault. There is a total understanding, it seems, on both sides, and both – both individuals have grown from that experience.
Absolutely. She and Leonard began a conversation. I don't know if you've heard her tell the story. She sent him a card and signed it, and he didn't know who she was. Here he had taken away these two precious people in her life, and he didn't even know her name. And that was a shock for her. And so that started a correspondence that went on for years. They still correspond. They've published the book, Wildflowers in the Median. And that story is one that will touch anyone that reads it. And together, you know, Leonard has acknowledged what he's done. You know, she doesn't ever let him off the hook.
Yeah.
But from that, they have moved forward. And together, they find a way to work. Leonard in prison, Agnes with people outside of prison to try to find healing.
And so you thought the alternative Christmas market was just a place you go to buy little helpful things to make you feel good. But truly a life change. By the way, 414-1234, we're talking to Debbie Gibson from John Wesley United Methodist Church and Pastor Danny Deeth from Christ Presbyterian Church. And Pastor Dane, this really takes it back to the original concept of giving, which is not so self-centered. We've really gotten into that. Hey, I want to feel good about myself, and I'm going to get you something really great so that you can like me more.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's all run amok. I mean, I think we all know that. We have a sense of it, but it's still, at the same time, hard to break kind of what has become just the cultural norm. And, you know, so much waste at Christmas time and so much things that just don't mean anything. And we're, like you said, we're doing it sometimes as much for ourselves as we are for somebody we're trying to honor and show respect for and love for. And, you know, and we're not even saying don't give gifts and gifts are bad. But this offers, like the name says, an alternative to just the stuff and the, you know, the stuff that, you know, two-thirds of which, you know, will kind of work its way out of the house or be thrown away or not cared for or people didn't want in the first place, to take it to that next level where, it, you know, we've been in hearing the stories, this transformational level that has the opportunity for transformation and has the opportunity to really explained and live the definition of what a gift is.
Talk about some stories of people who are on the receiving end. A couple times you brought in a person who has discovered the alternative Christmas market and they've talked about their experience. But you hear all kinds of things, Debbie. I mean, every single year that you have it, people will come back to you and say, my gosh, this is why I've returned and this is why I'm doing it again. Talk a little about that.
Well, 3 years ago, the Community Carbon Fund joined the alternative market for the first time. And they work in the community to – they take people's donations and offsets, and they use them in nonprofit agencies to upgrade their facilities or retrofit so that their utility costs will go down, which gives them more money that they can use to spend on services. And I was surprised. One of the things that we have seen is that there are an awful lot of people that care about what's happening in the environment. For the last 2 years, the Community Carbon Fund has been the second highest grossing agency in the market because people care about what's happening in this community. They want to help our nonprofits. They see this as a win for everybody. We had someone that comes to the market every 2 years. She 1 year she gives alternative gifts. The next year she Pam was so excited because she came in and she saw that she could give a tree. Last year the Community Carbon Fund planted 100 oak trees out at Alford Arms as a sequestration of carbon. There are lots of ways to cut carbon. Most of us think of reducing our electricity usage, but you can also plant a tree. So one of the things the Carbon Fund sells is trees. And Pam was beside herself. She gave, I think, maybe 10 fruit trees that year to the people on her list. So I know Grace Missions, another group that has come into the market. They work primarily with our homeless neighbors in the Frenchtown community. And when you listen to Pastor Amanda talk about the ways that the exposure in the market and also the donations that they get help them expand their program, they've now moved over and are working – their children's program is working over in Joe Lewis, and they've expanded it to where they're doing, I think, 100 kids.
Oh, my gosh.
Mentoring them and teaching them reading on the during the week.
That is great, Debbie. Fantastic. On the other side of the break, I think we'll have another story here to share from a participant in the alternative Christmas market. That's all coming up right here on Perspectives. Ah, chestnuts roasting on an open fire and all those other wonderful songs of the season, which soon we will be awash in if we are not already. Yeah, I'm surprised that some commercial radio stations don't start playing Christmas music like, you know, right after the 4th of July or something. It keeps moving up more and more as time goes on.
Matter of time.
Yeah, boy, I think you're right, Danny. We are talking to some representatives of the alternative Christmas markets up and coming here in Tallahassee starting the weekend of December 6th. And also on the 7th, and that'll be at John Wesley United Methodist Church out in Christ Presbyterian Church land in the Northeast. It's December 12th and 13th, and we have representatives of those markets we're talking to today, along with some input from a participant agency in the alternative Christmas market in the form of Mr. Mahoney. Hey, Mark, how you doing? Hello, Mark.
I just really wanted to call in to give a plug for the Alternative Christmas Market, and I've been the coordinator for about the last 10 years of the Return Peace Corps Volunteer Group, and I'd also send a little email to you guys. I think that it's just learning about the organizations there, as a participant, but at the same time being able to speak to people about education, about even about, you know, volunteering as a potential Peace Corps volunteer. We have about 15% of our Peace Corps volunteers now are retirees. So if people tend to retire and they want to do something different and get out there, they have the opportunity to do that. So it's just a really nice environment. And I was just going to say also that we have actually made an application to try to expand into Christ Presbyterian this year also. It would be our first year. So
fantastic! Come on.
Yeah, look forward to that, Mark. And you guys distribute a calendar too, don't you?
Yeah, it's an international calendar. It's been the Return Peace Corps volunteers of Madison, Wisconsin have done this for, I don't know, maybe 25 years, and it was just a project they started, and they've raised over $1 million just selling calendars to support the Peace Corps partnership projects around the world, and it's all volunteer, and it's all the photos are – people that have been former volunteers or lived overseas send them in, and they have a whole kind of a process to select the photos for the calendar, and a lot of educational things in there too. So it's a great sort of thing, and we just really love the participation.
Well, we really enjoy hearing from you, Mark, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the alternative Christmas markets up and coming. Thanks for checking in.
Okay, best to y'all. Bye.
Okay.
Bye, Mark.
Take care. And that's just one example of the many organizations that are participating in both of the alternative Christmas markets right now. We hit on animals. We hit whether livestock or pets. We've hit on the Return Peace Corps volunteers, some of the corrections ministries out there. What other groups are there, Danny?
I'll highlight this that's a little bit different, but it's also a story, a personal story for me and our church. Solomon's Porch is a fantastic ministry, and they're international. They were started by Lloyd and Melanie Monroe here from Tallahassee, who decided to go start their ministry in this ministry in Panajachel, Guatemala. And so several years they came to our gift market in my church. And as I'm, you know, I always go around to try to visit with folks and get to know them and would hear about their ministry and think, gosh, what a great thing they're doing. And they do a variety of services from health to education to building to, I mean, they're really span the needs of folks in rural villages and things like that. And so finally, last year's gift market, I said, well, we need to further pursue this a little bit. And so it was that I found myself in our church in August in a field digging and, you know, throwing cinder blocks around. And I literally thought, you know, all this started at the gift market from a conversation, you know, between me and one of their representatives from that booth. And so that is in a way to say that it's more than just that gift that you give. The education and the relationships built and the network is a big part of that. And there are some international groups as well, some here in Tallahassee in the Carpenter's Footsteps. They go to Costa Rica and help build churches. They're fantastic, along with some of the national, you know, Heifer and Habitat and things like that.
On the local level, too, you have that type of networking and that interaction that goes on. A couple years ago, I talked to someone. It said, you know, these people in the booth next to me, I never met them. But, you know, there here are some opportunities we were just talking about in between customers to partner on some projects. We could all do this together and be more effective.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the agencies find the opportunity to network within the market to be very valuable for them. I brought a list of our agencies. I want to mention the Lighthouse of the Big Bend, which serves our blind neighbors, the Literacy Volunteers of Leon County, which helps people that are struggling to learn to read, Lutheran Social Services, which does transitional housing for homeless people. They're involved in a lot of things, including refurbishing computers, which they give away to nonprofits and low-income people. Mothers in Crisis, which does a lot of counseling for people that have addictions that they're trying to break. The Neighborhood Medical Center, which we've heard a lot about this year because they've taken over as the federally qualified healthcare deliverer. But they've been there for years helping provide healthcare for our neighbors who don't have insurance. Porch to Solomon is also one of ours. And I was just with 10,000 Villages at the Wesley Foundation doing an offsite sale. And I had with me the Guatemalan who is here in town visiting. He's from that area, and he serves as an interpreter when people go down. So Carlos has been volunteering with us at 10,000 Villages. And it was wonderful to see the kids from the Wesley Foundation who've been to Guatemala, worked at Porch, come and talk to him about the different things that are happening in his community. You know, it's a way for us to connect not only locally with friends but also internationally, and it's wonderful to see how many ways that Lloyd and Melanie have been able to reach out within this community. Salvation Army, you know, which is a tremendous organization working with people in crisis. The Shelter, which we, you know, I don't know what we'd do without the shelter. And their project right now with the Cold Nights shelter, mm-hmm. we hope that this will be our last year trying to take that overflow and keeping them out of the wind, you know, instead of having them volunteer and sleep outside on the cold concrete. And we have First Baptist to thank for opening their basketball court. Actually, is where these guys sleep. The Breon Institute works with pregnant women that are homeless. DeMayan, which is a wonderful project, helping anyone that really wants to get into gardening. They do educational gardens with schools, but they also help set up community gardens where people are actually growing the food that they're going to eat. So we have got, like I said, there is something for everybody. If you're, you know, if you can't find a gift that fits someone on your list, you're not thinking very hard.
Yes. Is there a heart that is so hard that does not have some kind of pet cause or just – this is what I'm interested in as a person, and I will support that. A young lady in town, and she knows who she is, one of the most hard-bitten political masterminds I have ever encountered. And you get her on a political campaign, she is beyond shark and barracuda. yeah, she is a box jellyfish. We'll put it that way. Absolutely deadly and fearless and – then you put this particular cause that is her little corner of her heart before, and she melts before your eyes and just becomes the most altruistic, wonderful person on the planet. It's a transformational thing when you come across something that you can invest yourself into to help someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So that and really, Pastor Danny, that's kind of what it's all about, too. It's changing lives, yes, not just the lives outside ourselves, but also us.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We know that when we give to things that help others, it changes us. The same way you go volunteer, you know, you think you're going down to help somebody, but you wound up being changed in the process. You go on a mission trip or you go and make some, investment in time to help others and you come away having been as changed, if not more so, than those folks that you think you're going to help. This is one piece of that. There's no doubt about it. And again, in a season that can get pretty flashy, we often forget the love and the transformation and everything that's just possible in this season. And so many of these folks are living it, and that's why we feel so good about these markets.
Yeah, but it reminds me of the old Christmas that I think we all remember, even if it is mythical somewhere in our memory, that at one point when we were kids, there was the perfect holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And this really recaptures so much of that.
You know, people celebrate Christmas for a lot of reasons. Some people have, you know, a very strong religious devotion, and Christmas for them has a different meaning than maybe the cultural Christmas that so many of us get. But one of the things that we ask people to consider, you know, if this is a particularly meaningful holiday for you, you know, when you look at the work that Christ did when he was here, he was reaching out to people who were lame and blind and hungry and needed shelter. So by seeking to honor someone doing the same work Jesus did, I think it makes it, you know, the perfect circle. You're back again honoring Christ's birth by continuing his work.
That's right, and it's more than that honor. We're commanded to do so, and right before Christ went into the events of Easter, some of his parting words to the disciples, you know, took that cloak off and washed the disciples' feet and said, "You need to do this for the world. You need to take care of people. You need to go where it's tough, and it may even be stinky like feet, and you need to go and you need to take care of people." And that's one of the central religious tenets of who we are as Christians. But whether, like Debbie said, whether you're a person of faith or not, helping people is a part of who what humanity is and what humanity does.
Well, and we know that in each faith tradition, there is that
right, it's at the
command
core.
To love your neighbor and to reach out and work with those that are in need. It's not just a Christian tenet, you know. That's what Jewish people and Muslims are told that they are to do. So we have people that aren't Christians that come to the market shop with us. They get their Hanukkah gifts here. So we invite everyone to come.
Yes, it's non-denominational.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, they call their market the alternative gift market. We've always called theirs the alternative Christmas market.
We keep it Christmas.
You do?
Yeah,
okay.
We do.
Yeah.
But it serves in both capacities.
Yeah.
It serves in
yeah.
both capacities.
Yeah.
In case you're just joining us on Perspectives, Debbie Gibson and Pastor Danny Deeth here with us talking about the alternative Christmas holiday, however you wish to interpret that. But they are coming up, and for the benefit of those, again, just joining us, the first one will be at John Wesley United Methodist Church, and that is December 6th and 7th. On the 6th from 9 until 4, on the 7th, which is Sunday, from 1 until 4. And if you have a hankering for pancakes, after you hit that one up that weekend, the following weekend, December 12th from 6 until 8 in the evening, and then on the 13th from 8 until 1, which is when you can get the pancakes.
That's right.
That happens at Christ Presbyterian Church out there on Bannerman Road. So
come on up.
Who makes your pancakes, by the way, Danny?
Well, it's kind of a secret recipe. We bring people in from around the country, and I don't really know.
Yeah, but that's,
you come, I'll make them for you.
Yeah, yeah, but that's a universal. It seems just about everyone loves pancakes. And
it's true. It smells good when you come in. It's kind of that warm feel. And
yeah,
you know,
warms the heart and makes you more receptive to maybe buying an additional present for that special someone in that special organization that you want to support, which
that's
is
right.
what it's all about there. Once you hit the $1 million magical mark then, I mean, you're off to a $2 million goal, obviously. But you've been doing kind of the same sort of thing now for years. Any plans to expand or enhance or build upon this, Debbie? Or?
Well, one of the things that I've been really excited about is the way that the idea of the market has been planted in other places. I received a call probably in August, from someone that had read about the market in a Methodist publication that goes out across the country. And they must have given the website address, because she had already been to our website. Years ago, when I retired from teaching, I set up a website for the market. And if you've never been to the alternative market, going to the website would, I think, pretty well clue you into how it works. And she's starting a market in North Georgia. She had talked to a group of her friends in the church, and they were very excited. She's called a couple of times to sort of get – we shared all our materials with her so that she had all the information we had to give. And I think at this point there have probably been 6 or 7 markets that have started as an outgrowth of ours, one of them being Danny's.
Oh, what a great legacy. Huh?
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
John Davis had a vision, and as I said, we started with just the 2 agencies, and I was fine with that. I thought that was just – yeah. But he would not have it, you know, and every year it was a little different and a little different, and then we started with the card and craft shop, and before we knew it, you couldn't put another booth. I wish we had room for 40 agencies, but there's just so many – tables you can set up in a fellowship hall and still have people able to move between them and among them. So, you know, John really was the mover and shaker in all of this, and the one willing to put in the time. I mean, it's a lot of work getting it set up, but when you have to go back and take those lists and put them into the computer and make sure 100% of the money that is donated to the 2 markets goes to the agencies. They are supported through the church. We have donations that help us with publicity and the types of things we spend money on. But 100% of the money, and that takes a long time. I've typed myself well into the night all of those little ducks and chicks. And I was just looking here. I forgot to mention the Veterans Village, which is new with us a couple of years ago. But each one of those gifts has to be recorded. And then at the end, we total it up and send out a check.
Yeah.
And the organizations are then able to utilize that money to carry out their
mission. That's got to be a great feeling, though, to cut that check. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic.
One of my favorite jobs is signing those checks.
Well, that's not the only calligraphy that takes place, because when you make a purchase at the alternative markets, you just run right down the hall, and there are some highly skilled calligraphers who will do you a card, which you then present to the beneficiary of your thought. Because the actual beneficiary of your gift is the organization that you have chosen to be kind to. Coming up again, the 6th and the 7th of December at John Wesley United Methodist Church, December 12th and 13th at Christ Presbyterian Church. Danny Deeth, Debbie Gibson, thanks so much for coming in. Let's do it again next year.
Thank you, Tom. All right, we'll
thank
do
you.
It.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance by the incredible Taylor Cox and the mighty Lydell Rawls. Handling the phones and emails and such. I'm Tom Flanagan. We're going to take a little break for Thanksgiving. We'll catch you on the other side of the holiday for more expert opinion and, of course, your input right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.